Rules that we have to boxing runner or the rights of a boxer, and you can buy the rules that are specific rules there is one of them, no reason, the podium, the bragging rights. And so Paul's applying that to himself as he says, if I let my body, or my appetites, or my own reasoning, or any of that call the shots, then I might preach to a lot of other people, and at the end, I forfeit my own pride. And really, what we're framing up here is that there's a battle. There's a battle waging within us, that white dog and black dog. Which one do I let have control? And which one do I listen to that reasoning of the spirit that's like, it's a constant war between the supernatural and the carnal, between the inner man and the outer man. Which one are you going to listen to? You know, one of the best examples of that, when we go back to the Old Testament, that story where Micah, when Ahab and Jehoshaphat got together, and the scripture says, right, the Gilead is yours, it's promised by Joshua. Joshua gave the land to you, and they're wondering if they can go take the land. Well, Ahab says, I got these 400 prophets. Now there's your spirit. 400 prophets telling you can take the land, and here's all the reasons why you can take the land, and you need to go just as such. But now here's the difference between the spirit and the soul. Jehoshaphat's like, yeah, but if we are one more, and you're like, and there's the battle. I know 400 prophets laid it out in the scripture. Everybody telling me that I can go take the land, but is it God's will? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now there's the illustration of the constant battle between your reasoning and that innermost supernatural man. The reasoning will say, well, I'm too tired. Let me tell you something. As you get older, you have insomnia maybe the night before church. You wake up and I'm tired, and you got that alarm going off, or when you're going to work or whatever, you're tired. There's that reasoning part, but from the inside, something is guiding you in a different direction. I'm going to church. When you're on your outside, your flesh, your carnal nature, it's like, wouldn't it be great to just get that snooze button and sleep in? Now, through those things, it's a constant battle. And so Paul saying, if I were to just listen to my fleshly desires, my carnal nature, then if I do that, then at the end of the road, like Ahab, you don't come to the promise. Like Saul, wouldn't it have been better just to obey the word of the Lord and you'd be a good king? But he got cut off there because he didn't continue what God told him to do. Now, brotherly questions and answers number four, he said, as long as you're in this life, now think about that. As your role, as we are here, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. Now, that's what we're talking about. It's not, I got to go by whether I'm going to live like this. That's not what we're talking about. If you're battling at that out, then you need to come back to the altar. I'm talking about the battle that we're looking at. We're almost so close, like Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Which one are you going to listen to? If in your daily walk, where you just have these little things come up, where are you going to do what you're? It would be easier to do. Or are you going to do what the Word of God says? So as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. Now that's that soul that says, yeah, I know there's 400 prophets, but isn't there just one more that tell me the truth. That part of you that wants the truth, that wants something real and deep. And he said, and when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ, and all the sin is gone from you. That's the thing. So, and what we're talking about really is Romans, 1 Corinthians 9, 27. There's Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, if you go back and study that out, you'll find that Paul finds it along. I find it along. That when I would do good, the evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the end of man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of the law of sin which is in my members. So it's a constant battle. But around the questions and answers, it's saying now the law of sin and death works in the flesh. But the law of the Spirit of life works in your heart. So your heart, the Spirit in your heart, will make your body obey what it says to do. That's exactly right. Now that's what Paul said. Always the flesh. I'm too tired. I'm unable. I'm not sufficient. I cannot do it. I'm not seeing how he claims up with that. I'm too tired. I'm not able to do it. I'm not sufficient. All these, you go to the doctor tells you it's important. It's not. How am I going to do it? The doctor says, sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. Or just the things of life. I'm getting to a place where somebody will say, well, I'm getting to a place where I just don't think it's worth going on anymore. And then you start looking at the scripture and you find out your purpose, that you have a purpose to be there. It's a battle that you fight now. Now that's the battle we're talking about. Not whether or not you're going to smoke a cigarette or drink alcohol. We should have come past that battle. We shouldn't be fighting that out anymore. They said, brother, I said, the Lord's here with the Lord. So somebody's been talking to me about the Holy Ghost, about something or other like that. I said, Lord, the Lord said, well, what made me feel that way just at the time that I should have felt that? I said, but then it seemed you just ready to receive. Now, there's the battle. Isn't that something you can sit in a good church service? Be about ready to receive something. Here comes the devil, an anointing spirit, the flesh. You're just ready to grab hold to the promise. And the devil will come in and give your spirit free and keep you from believing. He said, I'll put a little damper, fan it a little bit, kind of cool down a little. He said, boy, but oh my, that's when you rise. Claim your God-given rights. That's what Paul would mean in this scripture that we're studying. See, always, when he said, when I would do good, evil is present. So you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your decision constantly. Every morning when you get up, we have choices all day long. Which one, like Isaiah said, who is going to be chosen? Are you going to be the court of your memory, your reason, your conscience? I remember what that brother said. I'm going to take vengeance against him for what he did years ago. Or are you going to listen to the court of his soul that says, I'm going to forgive you? Despite what he did to me, and despite what I remember and all those things, I'm going to take vengeance. So, Matthew 16:24, that's what Jesus said to the disciples. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me, and take up his life, and come to me himself. And that's what Paul means when he said, I'm just coming home by me. And bringing it into subjection. Thank you. get. They don't get their benefit because something they did, they get sidetracked with something. And at the end, they end up getting disqualified. They end up getting rejected. They end up getting disapproved. Now, when you talk about that, there are lessons. There's lessons in life that you can learn by watching people. It's like a ship on the sea, like a ship passing. You look over and you see the ship that's up against the rocks and it's broken apart. And until you look at the ship and you learn, I want to take a lesson from that. As Paul tells us, what he's doing is warning us against hypocrisy. Make sure that you run a race like you're intending to finish it. Not just to fall to the wayside right there at the end, but you run the race with constancy, with continuity, with fervor, with desperation, that you're not going to fall away there at the end right before you get to the finish line. Say, I never want to be a hypocrite. I never want to be found a deceiver. I'd rather be home with my wife and children than working as a gambler and dealing in the sports line and be back out here trying to deceive people. For I realize that no matter what I ever do at the end of the road, I'm going to be chased away. So what do you want me to do? To be a castaway means that you're. What good would it do if you preach and then you're not going to live? What good would it do if you preach and you know, with your lips you're saying one thing, but down on the inside you know that there's something wrong? Proverbs 7, looking to the unseen, he said, before these people of the great judgment, I'll stand to give an account. If I told wrong, then I'll be a castaway. Turned away from my loved ones, turned away from Jesus, no hope could be. God, I don't want to be there. I want to be truthful and honest. See, there's different ways you can be a castaway. You can be a castaway by not going to a place of being born again. And Brother Brown said you can be a castaway by not coming to a place of adoption because you did not follow the Father's instructions. And the message here, he said, if a boy that's born again, but that boy was born in the home as a son. But if he did not become a right one, he would not follow his father's instructions, would not be about his father's business. That boy was always a son, but he never did have any inheritance. Did you know that? He never got any inheritance. He was just a castaway. He was always a son. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're God's son and God's daughter. That's true. But if you don't obey God, walk in the light, walk in the word that you know, then you won't have any inheritance. So what does that make a castaway this morning? Somebody is unable to stand the test. Paul recognizes that being used by God, even for preaching and miracles, doesn't give anybody a license for carelessness. Believers, and especially preachers, must guard against superficiality or hypocrisy. So castaway is not just the fate of someone who is stumbling, but it's the result of failing to persevere in true faith to get to that finish line. Bringing your body into subjection. I'm not listening to a reason. I'm not listening to those former good prophets or anything that's contrary to the inner man that knows what's right and wrong. Bringing your body into subjection, living out the message, and not presuming. I'm just presuming based on some past things that happened, past ministry status, not presuming on anything. But this gracious brother said, I want him to remember me when the Lord comes. And it throws me into desperation, like Paul said, after I have preached the gospel, shall I be a stolen, shall I be a cast off? It could happen. So it throws me into a desperate state, desperation to think of, after all these years of preaching, would I, could I, a place come, where I could fail? What's the next one must not do this. And it throws me to a cornerstone. What can I do to throw me to the mountains and to the valleys? And do you know, I think the reason Boaz says these things is to pop up for all of us. So that we should always be on guard. One wrong choice. Jehoshaphat, did he make the right choice? And he decided to go down to Ramoth-Gilead, and there was fulfilled what Micah the prophet had said. The sheep are going to be scattered. The sheep are going to be scattered because of the choice that they made. What is that in that happened culturally? Moses failed. He came down and he struck the rock that was in his hand and put it down and broke the commandments because of the weakness he had, which is temper. And you know that's the thing that we're quoting on this, that that's the point that prevented him from going into the promised land. There God told him in Numbers chapter 20. He told him to speak to the rock. Moses comes up to the rock and he says, "Hear now, you rebels." He comes up with a tent for the rock and says, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And he got Aaron caught up in it too. And because of that, Aaron couldn't go into the promised land either. He got real upset and he struck that rock twice instead of doing what God told him. And God said, "Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." After all of the preaching, all of that talk right there at the end, something prevented him from going into the promised land. We need to just make sure that we're staying right behind what we're the word and what we're supposed to have. We need to be conscious of that. A lens in its